Now we're happy to welcome into the Ten Radio studio Anton Matthews. Good morning, Anton.
Pauline, good morning.
It's lovely to see you because you're often out of the area, flitting across the Isle of Wight or up to
Wales
foreign
and,
parts.
Yes, foreign, foreign parts, yes,
foreign
Wales
climes.
Maybe.
But we're talking about certainly foreign climes today and about your good friend from Fitzhead, Ken Roberts, who is crossing continents on his bicycle.
Yeah.
And where is Ken at the moment on his epic journey?
Well, there's a clue here in his latest blog, which I'm going to read you, because there's a lovely picture of a little rabbit. And I mean, why would you have a picture of a rabbit? But let me just briefly give you that. It's his blog says, regular followers of the blog may be aware I usually run a little ahead of it. In this case, he's actually about 1,000 miles from Seattle, which is where, the interview we're going to hear later on comes from. So he says, for I'm now down in San Francisco. So, in fact, just 700 miles or so from the Mexican border. He's spending a few days in the city, routine maintenance, aspirations to visit Alcatraz, and writing up more of the blog once he's fixed the power supply for his little computer netbook thing, which he does all his blogging with, you see. Mm. Anyway, apparently the cable was chewed through not by a wild bear or a raccoon or even a feral cat, but a house rabbit called Bob. And he says, some things you can't make up.
No, you couldn't. Absolutely.
Well, he's done, as I say, we did it was a couple of weeks ago now when he was a little nearer to Seattle. He's moved on from there today. But he's done an interview with his next door neighbour, John Basley, in the usual way. And what we're going to do, we'll listen to that interview. Mm. And then after that, we're going to speak to a very, very special lady called Sue, who's very, very close to Ken. But all will be revealed.
All will be revealed. But first, we're going over to hear Ken in live reality.
Indeed.
Well, Ken, good morning to you once again. Last time we spoke, you were in Canada. Where are you speaking from this morning?
Hi, John. I've made it safely to Seattle, tucked up in the top left corner of the US.
Well, as usual, I've been following your blogs and the videos and everything very carefully in preparation for this interview, Ken. And I gather, poor chap, you've been plagued with yet more dental problems, but you've recently had some emergency treatment. Now, sparing the listeners some of the finer detail, would you like to relive some of this for us, but also tell us how you cope with health emergencies in general, particularly when you're isolated?
I think I should first point out that I do floss regularly, but to little avail, it seems. Hardly a week appears to go by without a visit to the local fang farrier. Fortunately, following a recent filling back in Canada, all seems to be well, fingers crossed anyway. And apart from ever-increasing stoicism to help me through, I do carry a pretty comprehensive medical kit that enables me to cope with most things, and most importantly, I've had the training in what to do with it all. Of course, if I got into real difficulty, some sort of life-threatening situation, I've a satellite phone to call the cavalry, but no need for that as yet.
That's beginning to sound like Ken's last stand. Well, anyway, back to the cycling on a more positive note. There's been countless references, really, to bears and other bits and pieces on your blogs and the videos. Now, how much of this have you actually managed to see in the wild? And what about other large-sized wild creatures?
As with every other continent, the wildlife has proved to be a bit elusive. So just one bear, a small black one, spotted in the wild, padding really rather gracefully across the highway back in Canada. I'd have taken a photograph, but had a cunning idea a passing train was separating mother from cub, and decided it was probably best to leave before the last of the garages went by. But cuddly critters aside, I've seen, I think, one moose, a few deer, a couple of raccoons, a few bald eagles, and that's probably about it. Despite, I hasten to add, lots of wild camping in the remote Yukon region, I've tried, I mean, I really have.
Well, good luck with this and the sort of the bears' American cousins. Again, going back to the blog, I know you've met up with a few other long-haul cyclists recently and spent some time riding with one in particular. How do you find this after 2 years or so of cycling very much by yourself? And I wonder if you've got any plans to meet up with other cyclists. I'm certainly aware that you're in touch through the internet with other cyclists on the move around you.
There's been precious little opportunity to ride with others, perhaps just 20 days or so out of almost 800, but they've all been absolutely great experiences. And I'm heading south from Seattle shortly, off towards San Francisco further down the west coast, and riding with an old school friend from Wales. We used to pedal around Pembrokeshire together as teenagers. And I'm hopeful I'll get the chance to meet up with another long-haul rider a little later on. In case of, I think, watch this space.
Well, I really hope that one works out for you, Ken. We must ask, before we completely leave the Canadian experience and so on behind, what you thought of the Yukon and the British Columbia in general. They must be absolutely hugely impressive areas. And what about the cycling challenges that they bring?
The Canadian Yukon makes its neighbour Alaska look positively crowded. I absolutely love the emptiness, the unforgiving wilderness. Probably one of the most enjoyable, if challenging, sections of the expedition, so far at least. British Columbia, wet days through the coast mountains east to the interior plateau, then a push south before some serious climbing to Whistler, home of the 2010 Winter Olympics, just a little north of Vancouver in the US border. Tough going, but rewarded with some quite beautiful scenery and decent weather for the most part at least.
Okay, thinking a bit more about this very impressive landscape, and despite or perhaps because of the remote nature of this terrain, I know you've been met with some very welcoming hospitality from people along the road. Can you tell us some of your experiences about this in the wild?
Camping and hosteling aside, I've spent nights in log cabins, a berth on the ferry south from Alaska into Canada, slept in a basement, even a converted garden shed found with the help of a motorcycle escort, but as yet never on the bike. Although it has come close on occasions. And along the way, encountering people probably, I think, as varied as the many roofs over my head.
Well, good luck, Ken, with your future American sofa surfing. Now, I remember some of your interesting blogs when you were down in Australia about the Aboriginal people, and you've already made a few references to the First Nation communities of Alaska and Canada. Do you sense any kind of parallel between these two groups of Indigenous people?
Some very striking parallels in terms of the issues faced today by Indigenous peoples in Australia and North America. And I stress today because prior to the arrival of the European settlers, the Aborigines hadn't made it to the Iron Age, whereas the North American Indians, I think, were a far more advanced culture. Unfortunately, the common ground between Indigenous peoples is pretty depressing stuff. Alcoholism, entrenched victim culture fueled by atrocities, perhaps bordering on genocide in some cases, committed against them by the early settlers. Modern-day blood money that seems to do little to actually resolve problems. Some complex issues, I think, with rights and wrongs on all sides. But that's all very much at a societal level. For, I think, especially in North America, I met some absolutely charming Indigenous people, really quite remarkable individuals, and I think it's very important to remember that.
Okay, well, perhaps that's a theme we can return to, Ken, once you're further south, down in Latin America. Now, we've often talked on these radio interviews about your role on this trip as an ambassador for the Outward Bound Trust, and I know that you visited a few of their centres in Eastern Europe. Now you're in the States. Are there any more possibilities for this kind of activity coming up for you now?
No specific plans at the moment, for even if there is a centre on or pretty close to my route, the staff and students are actually often away out in the wilderness, but we shall see.
Well, that's great, Ken. Thank you very much for that. Sadly, we've run out of time again, but speaking of the Outward Bound Trust, would you like to put in your usual plug for the website and also the donations to the Outward Bound Trust?
You can catch up on my antics through the photos, the videos and blog posts on my website, www.acrosscontinents.org, where you can also find out more about the Outward Bound Trust and its work with young people, and make a donation online safely and securely. And the latter, I know, will be hugely appreciated, for, alas, the miles have flowed by far, far quicker than donations to the Trust, despite a remarkably generous contribution from some folks in Alaska. Still, long, long way to go.
Well, that's great, Ken. Thank you very much indeed. As ever, we've got a few more records to play before the show ends, but safe cycling and look forward to speaking again soon. Many thanks. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, John, and very much looking forward to chatting again next month.
Hello, Anton Matthews here on 10 Radio, 105.3 FM. There we are. We've just listened to Ken Roberts, who is cycling round the world, being interviewed by his next-door neighbour, John Bowsley. And it's something we do every month. So do listen next month to the same thing. Now, we've got somebody very, very special online. Sue, good morning to you.
Good morning, Anton.
Thank you so much for coming on board this morning at rather short notice. But now I know you're very special to Ken. We did mention we were going to speak to somebody special, and of course you are Ken's mum.
I am.
So that must be, therefore. And you're part of the backup team, I gather, arranging flights and so on, is that right?
Yes. Over the last 2 years and 2 months, I've become experts at sorting out communication issues, the logistics, parcels, flights, generally chatting about things, looking up routes, and it seems that when we advise, mostly it's done.
Excellent.
It does take a lot of time, but it's good fun and makes us feel part of the whole process.
Well, indeed, I'm sure you very much are. That's wonderful. Whereabouts is he at the present moment? I mean, I think we gathered that he is somewhere in the States, San Francisco way. But I mean, presumably you keep in sort of daily touch with him, do you?
No, not daily. But fairly good. I mean, communications are brilliant because you've got the email, Skype, and text, which don't always appear in the middle of the night, but sometimes they do, but we forgive him for that. So I can tell you actually that he is in San Francisco.
All right.
And the last I heard, he was going to Alcatraz.
Oh, very good.
Yet, but he's back.
Yes, that was an aspiration of his that we read earlier on from his blog, which he was saying he was hopeful to get there. A complete and utter aside, I recorded a band years ago called Alcatraz, but that's another story. So that's fantastic. Now, I guess to ask the question, I mean, obviously you've been aware of some of the tough times that he's gone through. I mean, he puts very eloquently sort of some of the difficult times he's had, especially across when he was going across Asia and China. But I guess at the present moment, you know, having gone through Canada and being in America, he's, you know, it's anglicised slightly because you can speak the language for starters, but also it's probably a much freer country to be able to move in, and there aren't the sort of worry of restrictions and not knowing the culture and that sort of thing. Now, I mean, do you anticipate that he's going to have some tough times ahead? And if so, where do you think might be the worst for him?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think sometimes assuming that a country with the same language, etc., is possibly going to be easy, each country will have its own challenges.
Mm.
I think some of the challenges ahead will be maybe with language, but it depends on the route. Ken plans so far ahead and whatever. South America could throw up challenges. Not the best linguist in the world, and none of us are. So that has its challenges. I think the thing with going across Asia was the vastness of it, and I think in one of the blogs, if people have read it, they'll note that I did say at some point, North America is a big country, and I think he's found that now. So I think maybe the scale of his journey is perhaps a big challenge.
Very good. So, in presumably, as you say, South America, he's going to have some odd times. Although he's travelling, am I right? He's travelling down the west coast of South America, well, of the Americas, and then he's heading when he gets to the sort of southernmost point. He's then going across to Africa. Am I right?
Yes. That was the route that he planned. Yes.
Yeah.
He's still got a bit of, obviously, North America to do. He's got to, there's Mexico ahead and whatever. It's halfway round, really. Well, not halfway round. I must admit, I couldn't tell you precisely how many miles, but obviously done quite a number of continents. Certainly when he got down to the end of Australia, to then sort of fly as far north again was quite interesting.
Mm.
And now, of course, he's heading south again. So it's all very up and down.
Indeed. And the last stage of the journey is from the sort of southernmost point in Africa, isn't it? And then heading up north to back home.
Yeah.
I expect he's looking forward to that to some extent. And I think what we're looking forward to, of course, is actually when he arrives back, we're going to have a super big do for him, of course, because I think he's going to be a hero, in not just to the local community, but it's certainly going to get some big publicity. We've been doing, actually, locally, we have been doing a few talks about what he's up to. and where he's up to so far as well. So we'll keep promoting that and building up as we go along. So there we are. Sue, thank you so much for being with us. It's really nice of you to talk with us today. And if Ken is... I'm not sure that Ken will know that we were on air today, but if he's listening, of course, we all send him, and I'm sure you do, lots and lots of love and carrying on his efforts. He's probably having quite an easier time of it at the present moment. And what I've been wondering is whether we ought to try and figure out actually how many pedal cycles he's done. We can work out the miles, but it must be a huge figure. And
I think we could ask him to do that, but that would keep his brain going on the road.
All right, yes, while he's going along.
That sounds like an excellent challenge, Anton. We'd like to send Ken additional challenges.
Oh, I'll send him that question then. That'll keep him thinking. Sue, thank you again for being with us.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Very much enjoyed it.
Good morning to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much, Anton. That was lovely to link up with Sue and hear her side of things. Fantastic. And thank you very much for wonderfully, unexpectedly coming into the studio to announce and run this piece with Ken. It's always good to hear his news and where he is. So, Anton, thank you very much. Keep in touch with us on Ken's activities.
I will indeed.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you.